So this is Satchanama on the last day of the college meeting here at Adishtana. Most of the public preceptors actually left this morning, but I still have Subhuti here with me. It's very nice to have him here. He is obviously one of the sort of founding members of the college, I suppose you would say.
I could say that, yes.
And I wanted to ask you a bit about the history and development of the college. As far as I remember, it was about 1994 when I was ordained that Bante asked people to come together and live at Madhyamaloka. Mm. Maybe you could fill in a bit more about that.
Well, really, the history goes further back than that.
Right.
Because Bante asked Sivadra and I to do ordinations, first of all, on his behalf in 1988, in the winter of 1988. And we, between us, ordained publicly and privately six people. And then the next year we went to Guhyaloka and we led the course there and we ordained in our own right. So that was the first time that order members had conducted ordinations not in Bante's name, but in their own right. So that's the point at which, if you like, the beginning of the hand-on took place in that sense. And in parallel with that, Sangadevi and Srimala were conducting ordinations. I can't remember when they must have started, but it would have been a year or two, probably after us. Yeah. And fairly swiftly from 1990, after I moved into the
Pamaloka.
Well, I was at Pamaloka, but I moved into the other end of Pamaloka. Yeah. That is the ordination process end of it. And Sona joined us. So there were three of us on the men's side, Sivadra, Sona and myself, and Srimala and Sangadevi on the women's side. Yeah. And we would meet from time to time, especially at conventions and order weekends and things like that. We began to be very conscious of being a team in some sense.
So that's almost the beginning of the college then?
Yes, you could say. Yeah. Nobody used the word college or anything like that. Right. But we were very conscious of having a responsibility which we shared. And we talked about that, discussed that quite a bit. Then gradually others joined the public preceptors team. Dhammadinar, Surata, Padmavajra, and then a bit later the two from India, Sudarshan and Chandrashil, and slowly more and more. Mm. And as I say, we would meet quite regularly at events. So if there was an event going on, we'd meet. Mm. And then, as you say, in 1994, Bante launched the Preceptors, College and Council. So he nominated a number of people, most of whom were presidents, plus the preceptors.
It was a baker's dozen, wasn't it? 13 people.
I'm sorry?
Was it a baker's dozen? It was 13 of you, wasn't it?
Yeah, you probably remember these details better than I do, but it sounds like it. Yeah, sounds about that.
That's when the word college was first started to be
that
used.
That was when the word college was first started to be used. Mm. And to begin with, it was a bit unclear which was the college and which wasn't. We gradually began to separate out the college and the council. So all college members were members of the council, but not all council members were members of the college. Mm. And we would meet, of course, once we had Madhyamaloka in 95, we'd meet, well, three times a year, actually. We'd have a month three times a year. So quite long periods at Madhyamaloka with men staying in the men's community at Madhyamaloka, and then we bought a women's community nearby and we'd all meet on the public in the public rooms downstairs at Madhyamaloka, as I say, for a month at a time. We'd have, usually we'd have a period of study, and we studied important texts. I remember studying Buddhist saints in India. I remember looking at why religious movements succeed and fail, an academic inquiry into new religious movements. It's very interesting. Mm. And various other texts of that kind. We looked at Asanga's chapter on ethics. And then we'd also often do a meditation retreat together in the basement down there. Yeah. Very, very quiet. And we'd discuss the movement, the college and council all together. We'd be resident at Madhyama Loka throughout, and we would all be there. Yeah. Loka Mitra would come from India, yeah. Everybody else was in Britain, but we'd all gather from our various points of travelling.
And Bante was very keen that that happened, wasn't he? Yes, so it was, you as a group spent a lot of time
together.
Yes,
that was his plan, that we would live together, the men and the women, and we would meet together, men and women, and be in very deep communication with each other. Yeah. We'd spend a long time sitting around in a room, all 13, and then, for instance, Damarati joined us, 14, the Indians would come, etc. And we would review the whole movement, because we were all presidents of centres or had some deep involvement with centres. So we'd go through every centre and discuss what was happening there, what the problems were, what needed to be done. Mm. It's quite interesting. We did have a complete overview. It was exhausting and exhaustive. Mm. I think it's quite an important phase.
So that was the sort of the late 1990s?
Yeah, from 1995 onwards.
And then in 2000 there was a significant change, wasn't there?
Yes.
Bante appointed you as the first...
Well, he handed on his responsibilities as head of the order to the college and nominated me as the first chair of the college, standing for 1 year, 5 years, and then re-elected by the college. And that increased the importance of the college, clearly, and it began to be clearer and clearer that the college, because of its role of conducting ordinations and thereby also receiving people's resignations and in principle, though we never exercised at that time, suspending and even recognising that somebody left the order by their actions. So we began to be more and more conscious that we were holding the key role. Went through various phases and mutations. We decided in 2003, I think, that we would greatly expand the college, and most council members were accepted into the college, and the college then shot from what it was, must have been 10, I think, might have been 11, but 10 or 11 to more than 20, maybe 23 or something like that. And that marked a definite step change. And it became more difficult to manage, of course, because more people... We were by this time not meeting for three periods of 1 month, but it became two periods of 2 weeks.
Right.
In many ways, that was unfortunate. But at the same time, having so many key people out for such a long time did have quite a big effect in the centres. Of course, it was a time of considerable turmoil in the movement, and it was a time when Bante himself was very ill, and we hardly saw him at all. He was at Madhyama Loka, but he was just keeping to himself and looked after by his own small team. So we weren't really in much contact with him. And for about 18 months, he knew really very little about what was happening in the movement, because he just wasn't well enough to engage. We didn't burden him. 2005, I didn't resign, my term as chair lapsed, and Damarati took over. So he's been chair since then, 2005, until early this year, March this year.
So he's done two of those terms.
He's done two terms.
And two is the maximum number that someone can
do. That's what Bante decided, that two was enough. And I think he's absolutely right, because very noticeable in the change from Damarati to Sadaloka there's quite a difference of, as it were, culture, and a very beneficial change. Not that there's anything wrong with the other culture, but it's good to make things, shift things, so that you get a different perspective, a different feeling. Things inevitably begin to form very much around the chair, and it's good to move that on. I can see that in the transition from me to Domorati. It's quite a different way of operating. Domorati had it took over at a quite difficult time in the order. A lot of turmoil, a lot of questions about the past emerging, and even quite a degree of polarisation. And Domorati's a very a figure who promotes harmony, and people have quite a lot of contact of confidence in him from a broad range. So I think he helped to settle things down. And I know he did. I myself was having less and less to do with the college. I wanted to spend more time meditating, studying, reflecting. And eventually I moved down to Wales in, I think, 2006. Maybe by even 2005 I might have moved. Yeah, 2005 I've gone. So I sort of left the chairmanship and went to live in Wales. And I didn't even go to college meetings for a while. I thought, first of all, it was important that the new chair didn't have the old chair looking over his shoulder. And particularly because I'd been the founding chair and had been so instrumental in setting up the ordination process in its new style, which had also affected the women's process, and had such a strong formative influence. I thought it was important for me to be out of it. But happily that coincided with my own desire. I didn't really want to be functioning in that sort of way for a while. And my own personal trajectory took me really pretty much out of it until about 2009.
And so the next sort of major thing that happened in the college, you could say, is arriving here at Adishtana, because Adishtana is owned by the precepts. So
yes.
Run by the precepts.
Yes. I think what you could say is that after this sort of period of turmoil, when it was quite difficult for everybody to really know where we were and who was responsible and how the structures worked, in 2009, members of the college had a set of conversations with Bhante, which were defined as, were published as, what is the Western Buddhist Order, because we were still called that at that stage, or rather, the Western part of it was still called that, where Bhante re-clarified what actually, if one had been consistent with what he'd said earlier, it hadn't changed, which was the nature of the order. As the community of Bhante's disciples and disciples of disciples practicing in accordance with his particular presentation of the Dhamma. And it sort of settled everything back down. Bhante emerged from a very difficult and painful period of illness and came into a somewhat shaken world. It gradually settled everything down, which really made the job of the college much, much simpler. Much clearer what our job was, and he defined in that and the next set of talks what the role of the college was as the guardians of the gates of the order, as the keystone of the edifice, and working in harmony with other institutions. And gradually we sorted out a number of issues, partly through conversations that I had with Bhante that were published as the series of papers now appearing, seven papers. And all of that was done very much in dialogue with Domorati. Mahamati played quite a part. And they would always be, first of all, road tested in the college meetings. And what came out of the college meetings were quite strongly effect. And the college had to absorb these papers before everybody else, sometimes with quite a bit of discussion and debate. So the series of papers helped clarify things considerably. We were hearing what Bhante thought was most essential, although of course that clarification even now continues. Bhante told me what the key notes of his teaching were just 4 mornings ago.
Right.
Nothing, no big surprises, but it was nice to have clear definitions. And of course Bhante renamed the order, knowing that only he could do it, and he urged us to establish a sort of constitution for the whole movement, which clarified the relationship of the college to other institutions, or gave a medium for that.
So there's the three strands.
The three strands and functioning together.
Movement.
Yeah, functioning together in the International Council with its steering group, which is ex officio chaired by the chair of the college. And the college has a very strong voice in all those institutions by virtue of the structure of the International Council. So we've got a way of exercising our responsibility together with others who've got different but overlapping responsibilities. Of course, the final piece in the jigsaw really was the clarification of the need for the recognition of a common set of practices and teachings, and the development of systems, if you like, or media for negotiating the development of those insofar as it needed developing. Mm. That process still continues, and we need to make clearer what Bhante's system of practice is. And that really took us into the development of Adishtana. Mm.
So what would you see are the kind of particular challenges or issues facing the college over the next few years? Are the things you'd like to see the college developing or clarifying? But I mean, presumably expanding still in terms of numbers is one aspect of that.
Yeah.
But are there other things that you'd like to see?
Yes, we've been working more and more on clarifying our voice so that we have a single voice. And we will begin to make clear our views, our collective views, through our chairman about key issues that are in our province, if you see what I mean. That's quite an important development, because a large-ish movement requires somewhere a single voice that clarifies things, although it'll be a single voice exercised, so to speak, by a collective. And we do work extremely harmoniously talk very deeply about key issues to do with the principles of our order and movement. And we will be clarifying various things that we think require clarification. Not everybody may agree with us, but we're sure that many will welcome a clear statement. So yes, that's one thing that we're developing even during this recent meeting.
Right.
And how that will manifest, we don't know. But we're very clear that we want to serve the order as the third order of consciousness, as something beyond individual and beyond the group, and that we have a very important part in making sure that things don't get so diffuse. It's very difficult to maintain a sense of having a common community, and therefore much more difficult to manifest collectively this third order of consciousness. So we see that as our key responsibility. Of course, what we're very much looking to is developing the college in all areas of the movement.
Geographically?
Geographically. Areas in the language of our constitution means one of the 5 areas, right. England, or rather Britain and Ireland,
yep.
Who are considered as one area, Europe, Latin America, or the Latin world, the Spanish-speaking world, which I think includes the Portuguese-speaking world, India, and Australasia.
And is also North America, I think.
North America,
so
yes.
Six areas.
Yeah, that's right. Six areas, that's right. And in each of those areas, there needs to be gradually evolving a cooler of the college that can function pretty much independently, although unified through the meetings of the college. That's what we've been doing here. We had the most international meeting we've ever had with the eight members of the Indian Kula present, six of whom are native Indians, two members of the New Zealand Kula, both of whom are native New Zealanders, and one member of the, it's not exactly a Kula, well, yes, there is a Kula, an American Kula, who is, of course, an American.
And Paramachito as well.
And Paramachito, who's English but lives in Spain. Yeah. And, of course, Mokshananda, who is English but lives in Spain. Yeah. And then, of course, others have considerable responsibilities in other parts of the world. But it was the first time where there were native-born, a large number of native-born, non-English native-born, from outside Britain. It's the first time, and quite a big event.
That's made a big difference.
Oh, yes. And through Sanaloka's inspiration, the Indian Kula had the chance to present for a whole day. And so we just got the six Indian public preceptors speaking about their own experience of being at the college, that both the positive benefits they get and some of the difficulties. We got them also to speak about their own relationship with Dr. Ambedkar, which is very, very inspiring and very moving. The first person to speak was Dhammacharya Chandrashil, who couldn't speak. He was so moved. Yeah. But they really stressed that they have this very strong feeling for Dr. Ambedkar. When Chandrashil, he's said, he's more than my mother and father. Without him, I am nothing.
And they're wanting to celebrate the 125th birthday
and the 60th anniversary of his conversion. But they really stress that Bhante, is also equally important to them, because without Bhante, they didn't know what to do with what Dr. Ambedkar had brought. Bhante gave a form and gave a sangha and connected them to an international sangha. So it's very, very powerful. And seeing that these are really substantial individuals, as strong and worthy as anywhere, so we want to see that everywhere.
Yeah,
we want to see that developing in Australasia. We want to see it in the Latin world. We want to see it in North America and in Europe. Yeah. And so we'll gradually be looking for that to happen. Yeah. And we look forward to the day when it's a polyglot college, if you see what I mean. We already have Dhyana Shuri, who can follow English, but finds it difficult to speak. And most of the Indians are able to work quite well in English, but it's a strain for them. So we look forward to the day when we've got people from many different cultures and languages. We need to think about how we'll manage that. So that's one of the issues that faces us, how we'll have a number of almost independent units of the college, but making sure they work very much in harmony. India is very much a prototype for that,
right,
because the culture is so different. We face issues that are not yet faced in the West, although often I think we face them first and then others even learn from what happens in India, especially as regards ethical issues in the order. We've had to face that much more fully in India much earlier, but it needs to be faced here too. And so we need to allow different kulas to sort of face their own culture in an appropriate way, but connecting them up to the one college. So Adishtana is a key place for that,
right?
Because that's where we meet. But also we would like to see college members from outside Britain and outside Europe, and even from inside Britain and inside Europe, has sort of seconded for a while to Adishtana to work more centrally, so that we are all tuned into something central and then can go back elsewhere. And it also can help to train. It's one of the functions of a college meeting, it's very obvious, is that newer college members get a training from the way in which more experienced college members discuss things and deal with them. Sometimes, of course, they learn from our mistakes, which is, of course, nice because it means you can make mistakes and think they're just educational. But it's very obvious this time. I probably it's been obvious to others before, but I really noticed that the way we deal with issues is for new college members a real education.
Great. Well, thanks very much for sharing those reflections. I know you're off yourself back to India fairly soon.
Yes.
In 10 days or something.
Like 2 weeks. I'm going on the 4th of December.
So, yeah, wish you all the best for your forthcoming trip to India. And thanks for those reflections, Sabuti.
Yes, I shall go back straight away to a retreat for the Indian private preceptors. So all the Indian private preceptors will meet and we'll have a retreat together.
And how many is that, roughly?
Oh, now you're putting me on the spot. But it must be about 25.
And that's at Bhaja or?
That'll be at Bhaja, yeah. And very, very encouraging. We've got now more and more private preceptors who are very, very dedicated and sincere practitioners of the Dhamma.
Great. Well, I wish you all the very best with that.
Thanks very much.